if you decided if you would like to spend the rest of your life with Lauren, what do you need to know, or what did you need to know to decide?
Cool, move on to the next one.
Hey guys, welcome back to Wild Till 9. Welcome back. Okay, first off, Jeremy has jeans on. For those of our audio listeners who need a visual of Jeremy not wearing the Lululemon pants that he has. How many pairs do you have?
10.
But in different colors though, right?
Kinda.
Mostly blue, right?
When I find something that works.
No, I don't blame you. I'm the same way.
I'll just order 10 of them.
Yeah, in a few different colors.
Yeah, but I was at Ragamon yesterday and I was like, huh. You know, I bet people at home that don't know that I own 10 pairs of the most identical-esque looking jeans.
No, I think people know. Well, I think people know at this point.
Bought 10 pairs of jeans yesterday.
You bought 10?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Eight, you're right, eight.
Eight? We're not going anywhere. Anyway, so now we know how Jeremy is spending his podcast cut money.
I'm sorry, have you received a check?
I have not.
I was going to say, because if you've received a check.
Also here, I feel like, we still haven't really made any money on this podcast.
I mean, really? We haven't still really made... We have lost money on this podcast.
Right. 8 episodes in? What are we at? I don't even know. Anyway, half a year later. Anyways, today is Valentine's Day. I know when this podcast goes up, it'll be far, far long gone.
But we're spending our Valentine's Day with you
guys. That's so nice.
That's so nice.
That's so nice.
That's so nice.
So today is my produced episode.
Are you giving away money?
I'm not giving away money.
Oh.
Also, if you want to watch last week's podcast, and unfortunately you can't win the money, but you'll get an idea of what it's like for the people who did win the money, so that if we give money away again, which will for sure happen, you'll know what to expect.
Unless you're a time traveler.
Unless, sure.
Then you could win money.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So anyways, spending Valentine's Day with you guys, and we also have... I don't want to say it's our first guest because it's not our first physical guest, but today I have, because she couldn't be here physically. Well, this is kind of physical. Anyway, Mom DIY is here today to join us on this episode of the podcast.
Why does Moose look huge?
Okay, so my mom is 5'2". She's like... push maybe 100 pounds. Like she's like the tiniest little ripped Asian lady with a six pack, giant biceps that will put every man's biceps to shame.
Just like you.
I was gonna say just like you, biceps to shame. Anyway, Mom DIY is so tiny.
We're shooting in like 6K right now. They can see that that's a lot.
So Mom DIY is so small that like this little phenom happens where when my mom holds Moose, who looks, I don't know if you've seen a picture of Jeremy and Moose and myself and Moose.
Like, I mean, he's rotund, but he's tiny.
But he's tiny. He's like a small, medium-sized dog.
Chonky.
When my mom holds Moose.
Thickums. A little fat.
Moose looks like a Rottweiler. He looks like he's the size of a lab. Like, he looks gigantic.
Yeah.
He looks gigantic. And it's only when a tiny little person like my mom picks him up and the perspective, it's like an optical illusion. It's so funny. So anyway, here's Mom and our giant bull terrier Moose. This is full-size Moose, not mini bull terrier Moose.
Moose is definitely a schmedium.
He's a schmedium dog. He is absolutely a schmedium dog.
Not medium, not small. Schmedium.
Schmedium. Yeah. So I wanted to bring my mom onto the podcast. And instead of us struggling, well, mostly probably my mom struggling through the technical side of having her like call in on Zoom and it just being like broken audio, I had her prepare some questions in kind of the form of a compatibility test, but I do want to say, and I feel like this falls under a nice theme because it's Valentine's Day today, that they're pretty touching. They're pretty heartwarming. I think that I just would never want my mom to ask questions about our sex life. So no one has to be subject to that, which I think is great.
Yeah, me too. I don't want to be asked questions about our sex life by
right,
your mom either.
Right. So when I asked her, I was like, Mom, like this runs the gamut. Like go wild, go crazy. Anything you want to ask, anything that you want to put us to the test in the form of like an individual or as a couple, go for it. All in, full send. And so luckily no sex questions. Thank God. Literally thank God. But Gail went in.
Okay. Should I prepare for this?
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe. You didn't allow me to.
No. You know what? In your defense, I skimmed the questions to make sure there was nothing.
I know you skimmed these questions. You act like I haven't quite seen them before. You've seen them.
I didn't think about my answers.
Okay.
I really didn't. Like, there's some intense stuff about like kids and stuff, and like I didn't prepare any answers personally.
Great.
So this will
be
fun.
So we're supposed to be entertaining.
Yes.
Eloquent.
Yes.
Respectful.
Yes. Woke.
Woke.
Yes.
Great.
All right. Mom DIY has officially joined the podcast to put us in the hot seat. And it kind of goes back and forth between like individual hot seat, I do want to say. So I don't think it leans to one side. Like, it's not just like a Jeremy roast.
Good. I wasn't anticipating it to be one.
And I think that in the spirit of Mom DIY being here, every time I ask a question, I should hold her picture up. So don't let me forget that.
Okay, got
because
it.
Because the
I
question-
I wish we had a little stand that we could put her
right,
in.
That I could just stick her on so that yeah. she'd always be here.
Can we stick her in here?
Well, no, then it won't be in our tight shot. It won't be in this shot right here.
You're right.
Yeah. No, it's okay. I can multitask. Okay. Okay. So here, I'm going to actually rearrange these a little bit in the way that she asked them. Okay. First question. This is a layup for you.
And how come you get that reference, but not an audible?
Because I know how to do a layup.
Okay.
Because that's in basketball.
I didn't know your basketball vocabulary was so...
Sixth grade point guard. Let's fucking go, baby.
You?
Yes. You know, the pickings were slim, but I was the point guard.
I
honestly couldn't even name another position because like I only did...
Well said. Let's go.
Okay. So anyway, this is an easy one. Oh, here we go. Mom up. Does one of you always apologize first?
Is it? Yeah. Yeah, one of us does.
Is it a genuine apology or an I'm sorry, but ... apology? See, I'm gonna let you start here because you can roast me here.
Lauren's bad at saying I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And Lauren often, when she does say I'm sorry for the first time, does not, it's not that she doesn't mean it. She understands that she's sorry, but she is not sorry yet.
Yet. That's correct. Yeah. If I say I'm sorry, but I'm still mad.
And how are you spelling Suri?
Sorry?
Siri?
I don't know what you're
saying.
Because
it sounds like you're spelling Apple's trademarked, or you're saying Siri.
Siri. Well, that's Siri. Just, that's silly, because that's Siri. Just a whole different Siri. Word.
I agree. So I'm saying sorry.
I'm saying sorry as well.
Well, now you're saying sorry.
We're saying the same thing.
You guys heard it, right? Okay. But yeah, I digress. Yeah. You, oftentimes, the first sorry that comes out of your mouth is because you're supposed to say I'm sorry.
Right.
And then later on, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I would fully agree with that. Jeremy apologizes first, for sure. Like, you have a more genuine apology first, but I'm just usually so mad by the time that you're apologizing about something that we
did you guys hear her butt there?
I wasn't apologizing.
Right.
This is just a regular butt.
Right.
It's not an apology. It's not a sorry butt.
So, but like the way that
I heard the Canadian sorry there. When I'm not, when
that
I'm not,
one?
Yeah,
that when, one you heard?
It's because when I'm not repeating you,
right.
I say it regular.
Right.
The Canadian way.
Right.
Anyway, by time Jeremy is saying sorry and I'm supposed to be there as well, I'm usually so mad at the different points of how we got to that end that I'm not even mad about whatever we were originally fighting about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not even mad about that. I'm mad about the businessman shit that I had to endure to get to the end of the conversation. So like, I would say like probably 10 minutes before we even get to the apologies, we're on the same page about whatever we're actually arguing about, but I'm just so mad. Who was I talking to the other day? They were saying how their boyfriend is a real estate agent who is a salesperson as well and just plays the exact same fucking game and had remorse for me. You guys are a special breed. You are a special breed.
Yeah. I mean, I have more to say on this, but the thing that I know that really frustrates you is when I almost give the too perfect of an apology.
Well, yeah.
It's
fishy.
It's not, but I'm just like... I want to be the first one to say that what I did was absolutely incorrect.
Right. And I'm like, that's dripping in sarcasm.
And even if I don't mean it, like you would prefer if I stammered over my words for like 2 minutes and just said, I really am sorry. Like, you,
right.
I think you'd prefer that.
That feels more authentic and genuine. And only because I've been programmed for that to be the regular apology, but because you're just more eloquent with your words. Like, I know that you do mean that, but I haven't been programmed to accept that as an apology.
So what programmer can I get in here to rewire a few things?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Well, if you find that person.
Okay. Okay. This is a good one. This is a question directed at me. Mom DIY is up. If Jeremy developed a sudden but persistent and severe allergic reaction to mini bull terriers, what would you, Lauren, do? He has been assessed by 3 allergists with little success. This question has so many layers to it. And I love this. It's so good. So obviously you have to go. It's plain and simple.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. But also, so if we've seen 3 allergists,
right,
let's go to 4 and 5.
Okay.
Let's go to 4 and 5.
Yeah. My insurance company's just going, yeah, I don't know anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the old quadruple opinion.
And then if an allergist can't do it, we'd go to like some kind of homeopath, you know, because maybe you could put a little bit of Moose's saliva and just like gradually put that into like your breakfast or something. Because like, you know, when you have like seasonal allergies and they want you to eat organic raw honey because it helps like build up the, no, you haven't heard of this?
I know I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe like there's something just sprinkle like Moose dandruff or Moose saliva into like your stuff to help build a tolerance to like Moose things.
Okay.
And then also she said little success. So that doesn't mean no success. So I think, you know, you have a little trouble breathing. You're fine. You're fine.
Okay. Yeah. Did you want to answer the question seriously?
Yeah, you have to go.
Okay.
You have to go.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was clear. Right.
There's not much for me to say here then.
Okay. Next question is for you. How many stuffies is too many? Is Lauren's serious stuffy problem a deal breaker?
How many is too many? Well, how many is too many for me? 1.
Too many?
Yeah, 1.
1 is too many? Does that mean 0?
Yeah, I'm annoyed by them.
Okay.
I am.
Okay.
But I'm not annoyed enough by them to want to make you sad to make that a deal breaker.
Okay.
So it's not a deal breaker. Certainly not a non-starter. And which is why we have fucking 19 of them in our bedroom.
Yeah. I get not like shit for this, but like, I just don't understand why I can't just fucking like what I like. Like, I like stuffies. They're fucking soft. I am a side sleeper and I always need either a pillow or a stuffed animal, like in like up against my chest. Cause I don't like, I don't know. There's something about like having empty arms. I don't know if there's more there in terms of like loneliness and sadness, but I'm a side sleeper and I need something to like fill that. So like the bigger, the softer and the plushier, the happier I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I this is not a battle that we fought about this. One of our very first fights was indirectly related to stuffies.
Right.
But beyond that,
the answer was that they just had to move to my side of the bedroom.
Yeah. When I initially moved in here, I think, although Lauren really wanted someone to live with, wasn't really ready to actually cohabitate.
Yeah. Well, I'd never lived with anyone before. You're the first boyfriend I've ever lived with.
It showed. Yeah.
Anyway, we got there.
We did.
We got there.
We did indeed.
And the stuffies are now on my side of the bed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And
how many do you think you have in that crate right there?
In that little bin. It's hard to say because half are socks.
And by stuffies, she means stuffed animals for children.
See, okay. Like, I don't understand the big fucking deal about liking something soft and plushy.
Totally. So if I replaced them all with equally as comfortable pillows.
But then they don't have a little face. They're just so cute.
But
does that not fall in line with everything else that I think is cute? Like if you put a face, like that spatula that we have that has a face on
spatchy
it.
Spatchy spatch.
The spatchy spatch. Like that is a better spatula than all the other spatulas.
Okay.
Because it's a spatchy spatch. So like, that's why a plushie with a face on it is better than a pillow.
Okay, what if the pillow was more comfortable?
Does it have a face?
No, but it is more comfortable and you would agree with that.
Maybe it could be interchangeable. We could work it into the mix.
So it's not about the pillow then, it's about the stuffy. It's about it being cute.
Yeah, it's about it being cute, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's the kawaii ones.
Kawaii?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
That it is. The little faces. They're so cute.
It's not a deal breaker. Obviously I'm here. I'm annoyed by it, but it's neutral at this point.
I love that.
Yeah. Like you pick your battles and that's not what I'm going to pick.
Gail and I will accept that. Gail Moose and I on this side of the room will accept that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
When you marry someone, also I love that your mom is just throwing you around with the marry word. So she obviously has faith in us and faith in you. Well,
it's your mother, but yeah.
Oh, did I say, what did I say?
Your mother.
Oh, your mother, my mother. A mom DIY, Gail. When you marry someone, you marry their family too. If you and Lauren get married, what do you think? What parts would be great and what parts would be less than great and maybe very bad?
About families?
Yeah.
In particular, your family?
Yeah, I think it could be my family or your family as well.
I think we have almost the ideal setup. They're in two different countries. They, at their core, they both love, they both value, respect, and are willing to give time, affection, and attention to like offspring, mm-hmm. even the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
like as us as the offspring?
Or no, like no.
Grandkids?
Grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
I think the things that they value most are very
in line. Yeah.
Therefore, it'll be great.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think just talking to a friend who lives in the same city as both her parents and her husband's parents,
mm-hmm.
and it's chaos because you're so close in proximity.
Yeah.
They expect more of you. And I think having family in separate countries allows us to make things more scheduled as well.
Right.
And that like sets expectations very, very clear.
Also, I've been away from home full time
mm-hmm.
for over 10 years.
Yeah, me too. Since 18.
I've been in a different state full time. Like I've been a minimum of eight hours away.
Right. That's
and
far.
Now, you know, 8 hours by plane or the other side of the country for 10 years, right? Like I have not been within close driving distance for a decade.
Right. Yeah, I definitely, my parents got to ease into being empty nesters because I was only about an hour and a half away.
I fucked off the second I could.
Okay.
But what my point of that is that like, I don't have the same like, you know, like I think there's some moms that have a bit of a dick measuring contest with their sons, girlfriends, fiancés, wives sometime. And
wait, sons, girl, wait, hang on.
Daughter-in-law.
Daughter-in-law's
their son's significant
parents?
Other. I think a lot of moms.
So like me versus your mom.
Right.
Yes. I mean, that's like the storyline to every Bridezilla type
exactly.
of movie. Yes.
And my mom's never been like that.
Yeah.
But even now so like more so than ever, right? Like because everything is scheduled. She only sees us for a week
mm-hmm.
and it's not like she gets to see the everyday, like just how you do things that are different than the way that she would.
Right.
We don't run into that issue.
Right. Like right. I unload the dishwasher a specific way that she did, like cannot stand.
Totally.
Or like the toilet paper is the wrong way.
Yeah. Little things that like would drive either of you crazy if that pet peeve was around long enough to actually be a pet peeve.
If you had to like live together for 3 months.
Right. I would almost find it more of an issue if, as little as we see each other's parents, mm-hmm. one of us couldn't figure out how to just like figure it out.
Right. For like the fucking week you're home for Christmas. Yeah.
I don't know. Not that I'm asking for this, but like things could be 100 times more negative and worse mm-hmm. and they're not. And it would be fine.
Right.
To me, sometimes you just have to figure out how to like fit into the situation.
Yeah.
And it's easy.
Yeah,
like we have it very easy.
I think so too. I think my parents are also extremely easy to get along with. Like my dad is the dad of all dads, like enjoys watching sports, fixes cars, can fix anything in the house. So one, you have access to that information. Like you have access to my dad's brain, which is very helpful.
But on the flip side of that, I think what's great about him is he doesn't judge me for not knowing how to do any of that.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Which some guys would.
Uh-huh.
But on the flip side of that, he has a core skill that I always will need and appreciate. Just like, there will always be something when he walks in the house that I go, before you leave, I need you to look at this.
Yeah.
And like, so I think there's two ways to look at that from his perspective of like, well, why can't you do it, dumbass?
Right.
Or the, oh, sure, I'll look at it.
Yeah.
And he takes the second approach.
Oh, yeah. So that's, my mom and I have chalked up a lot of my creative solving abilities to being from my dad's side of like his brain.
Yeah.
Because he can take things, like he's one of those guys who would take things apart to put it back together. And I don't know if necessarily, I would necessarily want to do that or have any interest in that.
Right.
But I can see how things could be linked in our brains creatively.
If I take it apart, it's not getting put back together. Like, that's it.
I mean, I think even if it started apart, you couldn't put it together.
That's rude.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
I've put together many IKEA furniture
the day. I saw a meme the other day that was like, the real relationship compatibility test is that if you can put a piece of IKEA furniture together with just pictures because IKEA doesn't do words in their instructions, you can stay together. No, because it's so international.
If we can afford captions, they can afford a translator.
They can afford a translator for their instructions. I mean, I see the cost saving benefits there for sure.
Yeah. I think that's bullshit, but still.
Okay.
Accessibility. Yeah. To be fair, though, I don't read any of the words. I only look at the pictures.
So there you go.
So,
and they make the pictures as good as they can for you.
Right.
People like you.
Right.
Shwoob. But yeah, I think my parents are really easy to get along with and are very quick to welcome people into our family. You know what I mean? Like some people are I think, give off a really intimidating factor when they meet someone's significant other for the first time. And my parents, with every relationship, have always been very, very like, welcoming and warm, ask lots of questions, and maybe that it made some boyfriends feel uncomfortable, but like that's a them problem, not a parent's problem, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, also like, as one day we'll be a future dad, you know, as sure as fuck I'm gonna ask some questions.
Literally, if we have a daughter who is straight, they are fucked. They are just absolutely fucked.
I just have a few questions.
Just have a few questions.
I just thought they could be unfair.
I just want to talk.
I don't even want to talk. It's just like, I would just like to have a better grasp of who would be going out with my son or daughter.
In your intentions.
Yeah.
Your intentions. Yeah. Yeah. Dear God. It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough.
I can't wait. It'll be fun.
I think though, having a leg up as a parent of you being a past fuckboy, I think that gives you more leverage to be a better parent.
Good. We'll find out.
Okay. Shit. Some of these are really intense. Like mom DIY went in.
Great.
She did not hold back. I also would be so curious to know like which one of these questions are for her own curiosity and not even for like the sake of this being a good podcast. Like she's just like, I wonder if this, da-da-da-da-da. So that leads us to our next question. Have you decided if you would like to spend the rest of your life with Lauren? What do you need to know or what did you need to know to decide? Oh, wait, I forgot to hold mom DIY up while I asked
that. Okay, then we'll move on to the next one.
Shboob.
What?
Do you know what answered the question?
I'll answer the question.
Okay.
Will you ask it again?
Yeah. With Mom, Dad, or I, hold you up. Uh-huh. Have you decided if you'd like to spend the rest of your life with Lauren? What do you need to know to decide, or what did you need to know to decide?
Have I decided?
Oh my God, that's a no. Oh my God, you guys. I don't have a Valentine. I'm single. Oh my God.
Let me walk you through my thought process.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know if there's necessarily a binary, I've made this decision, at least the way that my brain works.
Okay.
I think the difference between Jeremy 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago and today would be that I think I used to think I need to make that decision.
Okay.
And it becomes a, I have no interest in spending the rest of my life with this person, to I want to. And I think now I would only have gone on a second date with you if I see that as an opportunity.
Oh, interesting.
And then date 3, date 4, date 5. And it's not to say like, oh, I'm interested, I'm going on a date 3 because I want to get married to her. Mm-hmm. I think it was, I know what, at least at the time, I was looking for. Mm-hmm. And you met those, we'll say, qualifications. And then you continue to meet those qualifications.
Right.
And you continue to, as my qualifications shift, yes, no, more important priorities, whatever, you continue to meet all those things. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's necessarily
like a green light, red light, go.
Right.
Yeah.
At least in my mind. It's a, you have continued to be the person that, you've continued to hit the benchmark or better, mm-hmm, of everything that I've been interested in since we started hanging out and dating and being together. And that has continued to be the case.
I think that I fully agree with that statement. I have a similar mindset for sure, because I think that if, just metaphorically speaking, so if everything's going great, 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 whatever, we like get married, it's great, great, great. But then like things start getting murky during parenthood and you find each other like not meeting the qualifications, or, you know, quote unquote qualifications and expectations of like what you need in a partner to raise a child in a way that you want to do that and see that being beneficial. Like it just, then you're going in an opposite direction. So like I fully agree and just think that like it's increasing compatibility to a place that like puts you in a happy spot. And then when you reach something like just say parenthood and there's like a clashing of opinions and you're butting heads, you have to decide like, okay, well, let's like take into account all the things that are a yes and are a meet the qualifications and check these boxes. And where can the compromise be? Or does this just not work anymore? Are we so non-compatible in this like certain area where you have to call it off?
Well, also the thing is like, I don't believe in the yes, no, in the sense that there's a decision that can then be made that no matter what you do, can't change that decision, right? Like relationships and those decisions don't live in a vacuum. Therefore, if an opportunity came up for you that was just so good and I wanted to be with you, but I hated every part of what that did. Mm-hmm. And I expressed that the way that I need to express that clearly. And you just came back to me with just like, yeah, it's too bad. Mm-hmm. Although you hit all those qualifications, there's one that's really just
right, yeah,
the equal and opposite side of that and yeah, no longer works.
Right, right, right.
So it's one of those things where I just think that like people don't, I think some people are just like, well, does he want to be with me or not? Okay, well.
It's not as black and white as that.
It's just not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, it's all currently the same green light that I've felt since day one.
Right. Oh, it's like when you're having a really fucking good day in traffic and you just hit green light after green light after green light, and then you hit that one red and you're like, well, shit, there's the end of my good luck.
I don't know if it's just like that, but yeah, okay.
And then you see Jeremy's socks on the ground loitering everywhere and you hit that red light and you're like, fuck, I have to call it off.
No, and then you see a little yellow light for somebody else, but it's still a green light for you because
right,
similar to your fucking stuffy obsession at the near age of 30, I don't mind.
Okay, one, I'm offended that you rounded me up to 30. But one.
If you were to round, which way would it go?
I'm closer to 25 than I am 30, so I'd like you to round down to 25.
Lauren, I want you to do some math.
August, September, October, November, December, January, February. Oh, so we're right at the 6-month mark. We'd have to break it down to days. So, oh, fuck, it's the 14th. You're right. I'm closer to, no!
I was tough to watch. I was tough to watch live.
God. Okay. See, but like, I just don't think that like stuffies are one of those things that have to be associated.
It's fine. Let's go on.
Okay. Okay. Whew, Mom, that was a heavy one. Shit. Okay.
Yeah. What the fuck?
I told you these are fucking, these are like like this might be the most hardcore compatibility test.
People are watching me sell in real time right now.
Yeah, that's, oh no, I just put lipstick on the mic. Oh shit.
That's okay. I mean, it's just okay. A $600 microphone.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's now.
Okay.
Just lost its value. It's okay. That won't impact the sound quality.
Yeah, we're fine. We're fine.
Yeah, it's not gross.
Yeah, no, it's totally fine.
It's okay.
Oh, here's a fun one. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Also, did everyone ever notice that I got a microphone for myself, which is the one that Lauren got, and it was actually for my voice type, but because it's sparkly and shiny, we switched microphones and I have the matte one and she has the sparkle version.
You said that I should have this one for my voice.
I did say that. I wanted you to have the sparkly one.
I like the sparkly one.
I know.
It's nice.
I know.
Matches my highlighter.
I know.
Okay. Next question. Mom DIY. The good question of Mom DIY. You've won $1 million on a lottery ticket you bought together. How would you spend it together? Or would you take $500,000 each and decide individually what you want to spend it on? Every man for himself.
I think I'd listen first.
Okay. What do you mean?
What do you want to do?
Here's the thing. And here's my honest opinion.
Yeah.
Is that I have a fat fucking mortgage. And that's not a financial asset that is sucking your financials. And like, I wouldn't want to, like, you're not attached to my debt, right?
Right.
Like currently as boyfriend and girlfriend, you are not attached
to my
debt.
Net worth, actually. I think I might be ahead.
Right. Net worth. Yes. Yeah. You're probably, because I have so much debt because of a mortgage, right? Yeah. So if we won the lottery today and like have no plans on getting married within the next 6 months.
Right.
I think that I would want to take not all of it. Like I would be like, can I have $200,000 of that? So it's just say, can I have $200,000 of that to put against my mortgage so I can pay a fat chunk of it off?
Okay.
You take 200 to do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
And $600,000 left. Let's figure out what we want to do with that together.
Okay.
That's where my head initially goes. Or maybe like 250 for mortgage, 250 for whatever you want to do. And then 500 that we can you afford a yacht at 500 to buy your yacht money?
$500,000
Yeah.
For a yacht?
Yeah.
No.
Really? I guess 500, yeah, 500,000 is not that much. Yeah, you're right. You can't even buy it.
Where are you going to fucking park it?
Yeah, seriously.
In Los Angeles. Right. You could park it in the Midwest.
Okay, so then what would you spend?
I could park it on the ground in the desert. The fuck am I going to buy $500,000 yacht?
Maybe, in the desert. In the
when I envision yacht money, and I actually have, I know what a couple prices of like big boats that I've been on.
Okay.
And it wasn't $500,000, a lot more. And it wasn't the size of the yacht that I would hitch my wagon to and call yacht money.
Right. Okay, so my first question, I have lots of questions here. First question.
Did you get a final answer? Because it just seemed like you were just like in circles for a second.
I would take 250 to put against my mortgage, which would give you 250 to do whatever you want with it.
Right.
And then 500 together to do something together.
Okay.
That's my answer.
Okay.
Yeah, what's your answer?
We'll split it 500-500.
Oh, okay.
And if you want to put it on the mortgage, great. If you don't want to put it on the mortgage, great. Like,
and then maybe we take like $50,000 and put it towards like buying office space or renting office space for the podcast.
So we're not in here anymore?
Yeah.
Realistically, you know what I would do?
What would you do?
I would talk to probably my money person and figure out the shift of if I were to realize the gain in comparison to you.
Right.
And then I would take that money with in some agreement and basically put that into a trust. Because that way the tax rate would be less.
God, yeah, the tax implications. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, because mine's like 43 and yours is 50.
How is lottery taxed at?
It sucks.
Just regular?
No, it's capital gains.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Just like full bracket, tax bracket. Yeah. Half. God damn. Woo, that's ruthless.
Mm-hmm. See how I just talked myself into getting that money a little bit more than you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you went with it. That's great.
I just got bamboozled into a sales pitch.
Yeah, yeah. And then we'll put it in the press afterwards. But yeah.
I think I just got bamboozled. Yeah,
I'll take it. I'll realize the game.
Right.
I'll realize it.
Yeah. I mean, that would be.
Actually, you know what's funny? I did purchase the David Dobrik puzzle.
You did purchase the David. Oh my God, you're right.
And we haven't put it together yet.
I think that the winner wins $50,000.
I think $100,000. Yeah.
Right.
But I gave it to you for Christmas, so it's yours.
Oh shit. I don't even know what I'd do with $100,000. I'd probably put most of it towards the mortgage. And then I don't know.
And you say this as if I'm not like paying you rent to put onto the mortgage. Like, you know, there's no part of that. As if I'm not paying tens of thousands of dollars a year.
Right. It just doesn't compare to the fat debt that I have of mortgage.
Right. But every cent you put into it becomes an asset, and every cent I put into it becomes an asset for you.
It helps me pay off my asset.
Right. But 100% of mine goes to nothing that is mine.
Right. That you don't own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you really set that up in a soul sucking perspective, which I'm fine with. But I also want to remind you that the tens of thousands of dollars that I have and will continue to pay you goes towards your mortgage.
Right. You just don't want to be that boyfriend though that gets roasted for living in YouTuber girlfriend's house, because we've seen that for too free? Many times. Yeah.
Oh, I'm fine with that. Roast me. Can we go that?
Let's Can do we that. Actually go that route?
Yeah.
Can
hey, everybody,
I'm down.
Get over there and roast me. Get out there and point your fingers. That'd be terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that wouldn't get to you as much as it does other other boyfriends. Oh no.
You guys are roasting me.
Oh my God. The free rent. It's so painful.
Turns off auto fucking pay. Fantastic.
Oh my God. Shit. I didn't think about that.
I get a reminder every time it's pulled out of my bank account.
Yeah. I don't even know.
Because every once in a while I'm like, for what? Oh, okay. Got it.
Right.
How much? Huh?
Okay. Mom DIY sign up. Mm-hmm. Who does Moose love more?
You.
You think?
He respects me more. He loves you more.
Oh, that was an easy one. You nailed that right on the head. Yeah. 100%. Moose does not listen to me. What? Maybe 35% of the time Moose listens to me, but mostly not really. And he listens.
35 is a generous number.
He'll give me a paw whenever.
If there's food.
No, I can ask for a paw with no food. Moose is also the most food motivated dog that I have ever met in my entire life. It is truly insane. No, Moose would give me a paw with no food.
Okay.
I'd put money on it.
On the first ask?
Yeah. On the first ask.
Okay. And I guarantee if we showed how this would go, you would use a voice more aggressive than you ever actually do.
Paw!
Moose! Paw! We're usually like,
paw.
Can you eat this paw?
Can you eat this paw?
Can you eat this paw? Love you. Love you. Moose.
Yeah.
Oh yep. My God. Yeah. He loves me more.
Loves you more.
When he's scared, he runs into my lap.
Mm-hmm.
But when he needs to do something, it's Jeremy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if Moose were to be off leash anywhere with me, gone. Fucking
off
gone.
Leash.
Yeah. Gone. Like when I say off leash, I mean off leash and never coming home.
Right.
But
right.
I think that he could go off leash with you.
Yeah. I wouldn't be scared of that.
Yeah. 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 But, be a responsible dog owner and don't let your dog off leash if he can't come back to you, which is something that I would never do. If you were me, if you were in my scenario where your dog listens to you 35% of the time on a good day, do not let your dog off leash.
Yeah. 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 And, what's funny is when Lauren's gone, he then gives me the love and respect that like he fills the void of having to love something
right.
as much when Lauren's gone.
Yeah.
Like I get both of them then.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which
is cute
as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Little father-son bonding time.
Right.
Yeah. I think also too, like you met Moose when he would have been a year and a half.
Yep.
So like I had puppy Moose, but I think as the years go on, he, not that he doesn't love you, he loves you like fucking so much, but I think the love balance will balance out, give it a few more years.
I'm fine with him loving you more as long as he respects me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind. Like, I think we have a very healthy relationship.
You and Moose have a really healthy relationship.
Yeah. Like what's great about it is Moose now knows how to make me happy, quote unquote.
Right.
And when I get happy, when he does a thing that he knows will make me happy, he is then happy.
He is happy.
Yeah. It's a good relationship.
It's a good relationship. And then when Moose makes me happy, it's when he's just like sitting in my lap cuddling.
When Moose looks like he needs directions the most, Lauren is happiest.
Oh my God. Okay.
Like when Moose needs to be reminded that he actually needs to go to the bathroom when he's standing on the grass that he pees on.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
When Gail develops dementia and Greg has died prematurely of a heart attack when the Maple Leafs win the Stanley Cup.
Oh God, this is going to be the only one that gets me in trouble.
This is the NHL. My dad is a diehard Leafs fan and they haven't won since 76 or something. Will you help look after her? Find her when she has gotten lost out for a run. Calm the waters when she has expressed her political views to complete strangers in the neighborhood.
Well, what was the action item there?
Will you help look after her? Will you find her when she's gotten lost when she goes for a run?
Where are you?
What?
Where are you?
I'm not sure. Find her when she's gotten lost for a run. calm the waters when she has expressed her political views to complete strangers in the neighborhood. So will you help get her out of just hot water when she's expressed political views?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we'd find a nice facility.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, the people that are like, oh no, you can't put him in the home. You gotta live with him. You gotta bring him into your home. I'm not there.
Oh, my parents have also never been like, my mom also worked in like that general area of healthcare as well. So She was like director of like a home healthcare organization that helps be like the system to help people transition to like long-term care homes and retirement homes and assisted living. And so my mom has more faith than anyone in that system and like knows how well people can be treated. So like, all of my grandparents at some point, except for one, had been in some kind of retirement home at some point. So like my mom would not judge you for putting her in a retirement home.
Well, she won't have enough wherewithal to judge me anyway, so it'll be fine. Yeah, it'll be fine. And like, now to be fair, and here's where I'm going to make up for the fact that I'm going to put you in a home for sure. Uh-huh. And in a home that is, the only thing is it would be a home that is accessible to us so that we can look after her.
Oh, yeah.
So,
no, she knows that.
We might be importing you.
Yeah, no, she knows that she would be immediately imported.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
but that's also a win-win situation because why would you want to be alone in St. Catharines with like no, depending on like.
You never know. And I think the things that you remember especially when you like dementia hits, I think your short-term memory really goes. Mm-hmm. And I think the things that, especially from your childhood, are the things that come back most. And so I could see that being the reason that she wanted to be closer to those things, even if she wasn't even cognizant of the fact that she wanted to be closer to those things at the time.
Right. I will say though, like having my Nana, my mom's mom, mm-hmm. struggle with dementia right now, mm-hmm. it's like heartbreaking for her to know certain things but not be able to understand because she is surrounded by so many things that she's familiar with. So like, for example, COVID, like she can't understand why she can't see all her grandkids.
Right.
And because she knows that she's in her hometown where all of her family is, like it's almost a con to her being in such a familiar environment.
Right. I think that on the flip side of that, like when my grandmother died of Alzheimer's 2 years ago, mm-hmm. just forgetting how to swallow.
Right.
Like couldn't,
right.
couldn't remember how to swallow kind of thing. Like things that like you don't even think about that you even know that you know.
Yep.
That kind of stuff. She would never have been able to grasp the concept of COVID.
Right. Oh my God. Chance. Yeah.
The thing that I will say is, Gail's lucky that I will be a part of that situation and that scenario and those decisions because I am way bougier when it comes to amenities and things that one needs.
You're so true.
Lauren would put her in like the, oh no, like my mom wouldn't have wanted this fancy stuff. She'll like want this for sure. And I'll be like, that fucking thing? Huh?
That's not true.
What's the thread count on those? Absolutely not.
No,
we're not using that.
No. Absolutely not. My mom was is the sole reason why I'm scared to touch, no matter how bougie the hotel is. Like we could be in a private hut in Fiji, you know, like we were. And I'm still to this day scared to touch the top layer of the blanket, whether it be like a quilt or a duvet or a comforter, because she just ingrained into my brain that hotels don't wash that top layer and they only change out the sheets. So you can't actually touch it.
Yeah. So anyway, we sleep on $14 sheets.
Yeah, we do.
There are certain things that like Lauren, for whatever reason, just doesn't get on that I just don't get. Like Lauren would Lauren uses like plastic, all but plastic IKEA silverware that is 7 years old. Like that shit was about to break when she bought it.
That can confirm.
Right. And Lauren constantly is throwing out things that I own that are 10 times nicer because they're not cute, but they're much fucking nicer. So we have a very different like view on
pants,
quality of things.
Pots and pans.
Pots and pans. Like, you know, things like that, right.
I had a really cute purple set and I really like my purple
set. You could taste the carcinogens as they chipped off into your meal. It's like, it was like a side of cancer and every single time I made eggs. Anyway, point is, I will make sure that she's in a nice facility.
Right.
Whereas you'd be like, wait, how much is
you
every
know what,
month?
You know what, too?
I'm like, $74 difference just so that she can have fresh towels?
Get fucked, Jeremy.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to ask a really hard question now and throw you into the bus. Hope you enjoy it. That's what you get.
Do it. Oh, really? The one where you asked me the time if I'm ready to marry you or not, or if I haven't made that decision in front of 300,000 people? That wasn't a difficult conversation.
We were just warming up.
Okay, let's get into it then. Let's hop in.
No, you know what I was going to say is...
Actually, fuck it. Have you decided?
What?
Have you decided?
It's been all green light so far.
Huh.
That's where we're at.
That sounds oddly familiar.
Huh.
All right.
Huh.
Okay. I'm going to put some... You know what? Just wait. Just wait for Donna's questions.
Oh, Jesus.
She'll be like, Leviticus 3:4. Would you agree that you are?
I'm sorry. Who?
Yeah. Leviticus?
Yeah.
Go on.
Would I have learned it in VeggieTales?
Yeah, for sure.
VeggieTales.
Actually, maybe not Leviticus, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't think VeggieTales covered
Psalms.
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Hard question. Fastball me. Let's do it.
Okay. Here we go. What compromises do you make for Lauren? Oh, fuck. One more time. With the mom and move sign. What compromises do you make for Lauren?
Can't think of any.
That's bullshit. That is absolute bullshit.
What compromises do I make for Lauren? Your mental health.
I was going to say, there's no way we can't go down this road. Yeah.
Your mental health is a giant pain in the ass that I'm fully willing to continue to have as a pain in my ass.
Right. Yeah, I mean.
And I mean that in the most respectful of ways.
No. I fully am aware of how inconvenient this is like such like a downward spiral for so many people who struggle with anxiety, is that anxiety does not just affect you, it affects everyone around you.
Right.
And that can be a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people who struggle with anxiety.
But I think the problem is there's too many people that don't that are in my shoes that go, oh, it's not a problem, it's not a big deal. I love her, it's okay.
Yeah.
To me, I think it's bullshit. I'm the first person to say it is inconvenient.
Yeah.
It is not what I want to do. It's all these things. Yeah. And I know that. I accept that. That is part of our deal. And I took that deal and I still love that deal.
Right. Yeah. 100%.
It's not this fake, it doesn't bother me bullshit. Like, fuck off. Just 100%. Accept it and resonate with it.
And I think the hard thing for someone on my side of that equation is that when someone says that, but doesn't actually demonstrate what they're saying, there's a disconnect there and it makes them even more insecure about whatever they're going through.
Right.
You know, and they're, cause I just feel like I've gotten so many DMs of being like, I feel like I have no one to talk to because I've talked to someone too many times and I'm too much, or I've come to them too many times and it's the same conversation. So even though it's still very real for them every single time, on the receiving end, it feels like the same repetitive conversation and they give off the vibe that they're sick of it.
Right. But at the same time, no, it's not a big deal. No, I don't mind talking about this. Like,
yeah.
When it's just disingenuous.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Disingenuine? Disingenuous?
I think disingenuous.
Disingenuous. What an idiot. Me. I'm the idiot.
Okay.
Although last time I corrected myself and said that, everyone was like, Australia is not the continent. You're dumb twice. I'm like, thanks, guys. Oceania.
Oh, yeah. Oceania. Yeah.
Fuck me, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Sorry, Kiwis. And I do fuck with the Kiwis.
Kiwis are New Zealand.
Yeah. But I think it's part of Oceania.
Is it?
I saw a lot of people from New Zealand kept correcting me on this one. Yeah.
Okay. Let me Google it. Is New
Zealand? Because it was news to me.
Oh, well, I mean, it is pretty close.
It's very close. Yeah.
Yeah. Is New Zealand part of?
Oceania.
Oh yeah.
Oceanians.
Yeah. Oh. Country in Oceania.
I was waiting for you to be like, no, you're stupid.
You
three
are
times
stupid.
Down.
Yeah. No. Mm. Yeah, New Zealand is an island country in the Southwest Pacific Ocean. It consists of two main land masses.
Didn't we learn in school that Australia was a continent?
I definitely did. When they were like, color the seven continents.
Right. It wasn't Oceania.
Australia got its own color.
Yep. Zealand?
You know what?
Not sure we
call
it. You
know what I also just learned the other day? I learned this off TikTok.
You're going to say the hibernation thing?
Yes.
I knew it.
What the fuck? Did you know that?
No, I was taught the wrong thing.
I genuinely, to my core, bears. I thought that bears would gather food inside this big log that they would go to sleep with all their food and just.
It sounded like a decent deal for them.
It sounded like a great deal.
It's a meal. You just get fat as fuck and just drink and eat whatever you want and then just for 6 months.
Well, I thought that they took and like stored all their food, mm-hmm. but they would just live in the log
mm-hmm.
for 6 months.
They would just wake up, sit up just enough to be able to eat another berry or 17.
Yes. And then go back to sleep.
Right.
That's exactly what I thought. And I just feel like there are movies, there are shows, there are books.
It's just the bareness. Okay. That one, yeah.
Yeah. And there's
gotta be hibernation in there.
I cannot believe the bamboozlement that went on in our education systems.
Was that Jungle Book?
Yeah.
Get above the world. It's just no consonants.
The bear. Yeah.
I mean, no bear. No hit. Just bear.
Okay.
It's like he's singing with a cavern in his mouth.
No
like
one.
Like his mouth is a cave.
Okay.
Everyone wants me to sing. There you go.
There it is.
Bring the fire. It's been easy. Let's go.
It's been easy?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we got two more. Where's my popsicle stick? what?
Mom DIY stick?
My mom DIY stick?
Uh-huh.
How would Lauren's friends describe Jeremy? And how would Jeremy's friends describe Lauren?
Well, Jeremy's friends have met Lauren like twice because we don't see them anymore. And
yeah, pre-COVID, I feel like I met like there was a few friends who we saw a lot
mm-hmm.
and then more of like your friends that you only see once or twice a year, even pre-me, I feel like we barely hung out with.
Right.
And then COVID happened.
Well, you live in the middle of Timbuk fucking too.
I live literally, I'm going to dox my own address here. So let's not do that.
how would your friends describe me? I mean, am I supposed to answer that? Why wouldn't you answer that?
Okay, I'll answer that. My friends would describe you as the charismatic life of the party, I would say. I would say also they would come to you for career and relationship advice. I don't know why the fuck they'd come to you for relationship advice.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, the way that this dude's being described, this guy bumps. I don't know if it's me, but yeah, this is great.
Do you want me to continue with the compliments?
This
or
is great.
Do you want me to switch over?
Are you kidding? No, it's fantastic.
Okay. I think my friends and a lot of my friends' boyfriends who have now become your close friends as well come to you for career advice specifically because you've done a great job at paving your own path and doing things the way that you want to do them and finding success.
Finding non-conventional ways to
be successful.
To see success. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think that anyone who doesn't have a college degree and can be at the level that you are at has done something very special.
And next, one more asterisk to that. Didn't have a college degree, not because he couldn't have figured it out and finished, just because he chose not to.
Has 95% of a college degree.
Which when you round, zero.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Like you don't have that stupid piece of paper mm-hmm. that so many feel like you need to have.
Totally.
Is what I'm saying. It's totally. Like, is the piece of paper.
Yeah.
But I think that a lot of our friends come to you for career advice and career wisdom and like what to do next steps. And then I think there are a lot of friends who trust you to be a voice of reason to bridge. Oh, here's what it is. You're a really good voice of reason to bridge the gap between crazy girlfriend and dumb fucking boyfriend. Is that not perfect? Does that not describe so many like.
That does describe a lot of our friends.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
We'll just. The caption house will probably fuck that up. So
right.
Yeah.
No, but it's true. Like you're able to think like both sides and see both sides and help make one or the other understand what they are doing, what they should be doing, what they could be doing, et cetera, to bridge that gap.
I don't know how I could say anything that's nicer than everything you just said. So I dare even remotely insert my opinion on this, but the only thing that I'll add, one, that's very nice on a lot of accounts. The thing that I think my biggest, strongest and most genuinely helpful attribute that I've always had is I have genuinely been curious in other people's perspectives, whether I agreed with that perspective at all or completely since day one. And whether that's been a 4-year-old asking questions to one of my 72-year-old grandmother's friends about a topic that I had no prior interest or domain knowledge on.
Right.
Or flip that. And I think that a lot of times people are so caught up in the way that they feel that they aren't able to question why the other person feels the way that they do.
Right.
And I love talking about that with anyone who will listen.
Right. Well, yeah, and I think that has led you to have a very deep understanding of a lot of random shit.
Yeah. And if I'm honestly answering, I think my friends just see you as a badass fucking individual who mm-hmm. balances all of my weaknesses out with your strengths.
Okay. I'll take that. Okay, last question. And
the finale.
Yeah, this is the finale, and I think that our answers are going to be absolute horse shit.
Okay.
And here we go. Popsicle stick is in the air. I think I've been pretty good about, including Mom DIY.
I think so.
She's been in most of the shots. Okay. For both, what do you think is the best and worst thing about having kids?
Huh.
What advice would you give your future self?
You have to go first.
As a parent. The best and worst thing about having kids. One, I have no fucking idea because I don't have kids. And so I just want to preface anything that comes out of Jeremy and I's mouth the next 10 minutes is that we don't have kids. So everything that we say holds zero credibility because, I mean, I know that so many of our listeners and viewers do have kids and they are experts in the subject and we are not.
And, you know, as two virgins who aren't ready to have children.
Right. Abstinence is key.
It's, you know, it's not been on our wavelength, but we'll do our best to answer the question anyway. Go ahead, Lauren.
I here's the thing is that like, I think without having a kid, you don't know what the best part is. Like, I think looking from the outside in, and outside in is like literally what I see, what parents show on social media, which again is like a total perspective that can be filtered and edited. You know what I mean? So I don't even have a clear understanding of like what they actually think is the best part. Cause I'm going off of cheesy Instagram captions they post on their kid's second birthday, you know, like, and I'm like, oh, well great. The best part is that your kid loves you. Like, okay, cool. Like Moose loves me. Like I know that. But I think what I have grasped is that there's something that, and the same way that I feel like when I got Moose, it unlocked a new level of love that I didn't know that I was capable of. I feel like having a kid and going through that entire experience of like being pregnant and like having a partner and you guys like making a literal offspring that is half and half like of your relationship, I think that probably unlocks the next level of love that you didn't know you were capable of.
Okay. And the bad thing?
As someone who has emetophobia, which is like an irrational fear of throwing up, I am curious to see how I'll handle having to literally make your baby throw up a little bit after every meal. Like there's just so much throw up involved in babies and I'm a little nervous on how I'm going to handle that. I think the same way that I've become more immune to Moose yakking at mm-hmm. fucking any moment, it'll get easier. But I also think that I am not someone who functions well on lack of sleep. And I'm aware of that. And
everyone at home's like, oh, he's fucked.
Yeah, he's fucked. He's absolutely fucked. And I'm fully aware of that. My dad is the same way. Like my mom can get 4 hours of sleep and be totally fine and be totally coherent. I am not that person. I am absolutely not that person. I need a solid 7 hours. And I think that this will test my ability to be a functioning, sane, and lovable human when that gets tested.
Mm.
That sounds like a really fun time for you, babe. We're going to be together forever, right? You decided that you want to marry me.
I decided that I did not want to marry you.
Did we just hit a yellow light?
I didn't. I haven't decided that I don't want to marry you yet is the way that I phrase it, I believe.
Okay, your turn.
We'll start with the good.
Okay.
I think you were spot on with a lot of what you said. I think the thing that is most intriguing and positive out of it from what I take from some of the most, what I would consider successful, not necessarily a financial sense, but just like most unique personalities who are very bold and are good at what they do that I look up to and respect. I think a lot of them, the way they kind of shared the sentiment of, I didn't know that a form of being so unselfish and unmotivated to my own personal gain
right.
could exist.
Right.
In the sense that like you would do things for a child that is, you know, 2 weeks old that make no rational or emotional or logical sense for your own well-being.
Right.
But because they need you to be that thing.
Yes, yes,
yes. And for a lot of people, I don't think that that would exist until that opportunity
right.
showed its face.
Right. And we were just talking about this the other day, is that like having an animal who depends on you for survival is like, again, a stepping stone. I want to be very clear. This is a stepping stone. It is not the same thing as having a human child. But like having a dog teaches you so much about the first level, like level one, beginner level of what you just said.
Yeah.
Like their life literally depends on you to do everything for them.
Right.
And I think it's a good learning experience.
Mm-hmm. So for me, and as someone who is, I don't think that I'm necessarily the most or least selfish person in the room ever,
mm-hmm.
but as someone who's like rides the middle line or is, you know, I'm not selfish for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm excited to see where that takes me.
I think you'll learn a lot.
Yeah. I think I'll learn more from being a dad than I have
anything else.
Yeah.
I agree.
One. On the flip side, what is the worst part? I think my fear of all of the worst parts of myself, being ever passed on to that kid.
I hear that from a lot of people.
Yeah.
I have a friend who doesn't want to have kids because they're too scared of that.
Right. And I'm not scared of it because to a degree, the worst parts of me have taught me some of the best parts of me.
Right. And I think, and this is like a whole other fucking podcast episode, but nature versus nurture, it's like, you don't know how much that can change, affect, and you know.
Well, what I know is that I don't control it. Right. So the only thing I can control is what comes out of my mouth and the example that I set, both good and bad,
mm-hmm.
in the finite 18 years before he or she decides to fuck you guys for 5 years and then come back and say, oh, never mind, I love you.
Right.
And if it's better than that, great. But that's what I'm probably going to expect. Like,
yeah.
I know the way that I acted and I know you're stubborn ass. So I can only imagine the stubborn fuck that's going to come out of the both of us.
Yeah, genuinely, if we had an offspring and they took 50%, so if it was, they were 50-50, but they took 100% of my worst qualities and 100% of your worst qualities,
we're fucked.
We are just absolutely fucked. We are done. Yeah. We need to, I don't know what we need, but oh my God. But
yeah, like that's, I think that's, the journey there is something that I'm going to be super excited to embark on in 20 years from now.
Okay. You sound like you're media trained for that question. That was a good answer.
That was a joke to the us not having kids for 20 years, but
got it.
That was the subtle dig back at Gail for putting me on blast last hour.
Right. Just want to let you know that my eggs will not be fertile at 47.
That's okay. Stimulate the economy. Surrogate.
Yeah. Well, there's that option.
Yeah.
Also, literally just the state of our bodies, just being able bodied to like do literally anything to like get out of the car, we would not be fit to have children in 20 years.
Fine. 18.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, you can thank, maybe you want to send a nice thank you text to Mom DIY for putting you in the hot seat.
Is there like phone number available or something?
For who?
A thank you text.
No, I meant you.
Oh, me.
I meant you.
Oh, I could send it then.
Yeah. Also, Mom DIY does have an Instagram and it is Mom DIY. You know what's so fucking rude is that someone stole Dad DIY and it's so now my dad is Dad DIY one. He doesn't really use
Instagram.
Well, no,
Instagram. He's Dad DIY number one.
No, right. The
other one's zero. Yikes.
You're so right.
Yikes.
Right.
Loser. Dad DIY.
Yeah. Whoever stole Dad DIY.
Whatever. But Dad DIY one, number one Dad DIY.
Number one Dad DIY. Yeah. Number one.
And of course, for Mom DIY, it makes sense for her to be Mom DIY.
Yeah, of course. I was going to say, are you putting Mom DIY down right now?
Not everyone has to be put down just to be put up. Okay.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mom DIY can still be the best Mom DIY. Yeah, absolutely. Anyways, go let my mom know that you enjoyed all her hot seat questions because these are pretty intense. Honestly, I opened the doc and I was like, whoo, oh shit.
Nothing.
This is
easy. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll have to come back with a part two with harder questions.
No, just wait till my mom asks questions.
Genuinely.
They're all going to make you uncomfortable.
I, my stomach is in knots just thinking about the things that your mom would ask me. Ooh.
I can't wait. That's not what next week's episode is going to be. Next week's episode is going to be fire.
Are you saying that this episode wasn't fire?
No, this episode was fire. It's not a zero-sum game, Lauren. It's not always a zero-sum game.
You know what would not be fire is your mom asking me questions. So I understand now that what you're referring to is that episode, which we're never going to do. So good thing that episode will not see the day of light.
It's the light of day.
The light of day. the day of light.
Tell about the ass of crack. Crack of ass, I mean.
Yeah, it's the crack of ass.
Tell them.
Oh, so when you wake up early.
And hey, Canada, this is you again.
No, no, no. This is a Lauren thing. Mm-hmm. This is a Laurenism, not a Canadaism. This is, don't put that, don't group
Canada-ism
us.
Canadaism sounds a lot like cannibalism.
You're right. You're right. I take that back. Sorry.
Canadism.
Don't blame Canada for the things that I don't know, which is most things. I don't know anything.
And if.
Big head, no brain, no thoughts.
Okay. Explain to them.
So I don't know where this came from.
When you talk about deal breakers and things that I compromise, it's shit like this that I... That-
oh, you know where this actually came from? I know exactly. It came from one of my good friends in high school whose name is Brooke. She said this and it just stuck with our entire friend group. So I actually don't even know what the proper saying is, but when you wake up early, you wake up at the crack of ass. Not the crack of dawn, because I don't know what that means at the crack of dawn, but you wake up at the crack of ass in the morning. You wake up at the crack of ass. And again, hearing it back now, I do see how that could be confusing.
Stop, drop, roll with the pod. Bye.
Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.